Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right. So come by Sunday, Sunday night I'm free.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Smashing Sundays. I'm Beth Granville.
And I'm Lucy Sunday Pinder.
We're very excited about who we're joined by today.
How excited?
How excited?
Really excited.
Really, like on a 10. No, 11. We're on,
on
11.
On a scale of 1 to excited.
Infinity.
I'm on
wow,
11.
Wow, that's really exciting.
Listen to that voice.
I am terrified I'm not going to live up to that kind of anticipation.
We've got the best voice in the UK, I think.
Pretty much.
And we're not going to make
what,
you do your German accent from Victoria. It's the start of Victoria's Cold Skin and Foiled.
Yes!
Woo! It is David Oakes. Welcome.
BBC Radio Wales is only English male co-star of a Welsh sitcom set in a hair salon. It's David Oakes.
And that is how you'll be remembered.
Not Victoria, not Cold Skin, Foiled.
I don't know if Victoria gets the audience that Foiled does, quite frankly. Is it, David?
Not in Wales, no.
Not in Wales.
No, and that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Because she wasn't the queen of... She was the queen of Wales.
Was she?
She was the queen
was
of the whole
queen
of...
everywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
the whole world.
Sorry, yeah, it was just... Yeah, yeah.
Who is Queen of Wales? Like, that would be like... I don't know.
I know the Prince of Wales is. It's a Wetherspoons in the centre of Cardiff.
How are you today, Mr. David Oakes?
I'm a bit sleepy.
Are you?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Not sleeping enough.
Same.
Well, that coffee we got you and that pastry was a waste of money, though, wasn't it? It's done nothing.
Well, I've got the coffee. I'm looking at the coffee and the pastry right now, but like, you're eating yours. You can probably
oh, you're
that.
Going in for your pastel like, donut, right?
That's all right, isn't it?
Well,
wait, if you like.
Sorry, I thought podcasts were like relaxed chats.
We did a.
Where you can eat and drink.
They are relaxed chats. We did a play once which had bacon in it. Like, it was Journey's End and they all talk about eating bacon, and then behind in the wings there was a ASM cooking bacon.
What, just for the smell?
For the smell of it, and it was really cool. But they realised that they could sell bacon sarnies in the interval because they would have made a fortune, but we never did it. Bit of an end of a story killer, that one.
Yeah. Could've our listeners can't smell your pastel donato, but just imagine that for a minute.
Portuguese custard tart.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
do you have a sponsor yet?
Them.
Tarts for tarts.
Not yet, yeah.
You should get a sponsor. Greg, sponsored by
idea.
Greg's Vegan
Sausage Rolls.
Oh, that'd be great.
I just popped into the one on the corner. On there.
Have you had one yet?
Sold out.
I don't think they exist still.
No, they
like
do. We've had
a comedy gig. Like, they don't exist.
We've had one.
Yeah, I've had a couple now.
Mm.
I like them, actually. They need ketchup.
Like meat ketchup. Like
yeah. Meat juice, like a jus.
Yeah,
they need
a
jus.
You've got a lobster bisque nearby. Yeah. Dip your vegan roll.
Dip it in.
They're not bad.
They're
not
nice.
Too
oh,
bad.
No, I think they're really nice. I haven't eaten meat for years anyway. I don't eat meat. But
well, I know that because I listened to episode 1 of Smashing Sundays, which is an amazing new podcast. I don't know if you've heard it.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that sounds great.
Oh, sounds
how are they
amazing.
Doing? How many listens have they got?
They've just gone over 1,000.
Have they?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
They are smashing it.
Sounds great.
And not just on Sundays. Every day of the week, they're smashing it.
I know. Yeah. Well, I've heard this as well.
Not Monday. I'm not sure about Monday. Yesterday, a friend said, who's been listening to the podcast.
Are they still a friend?
They're still a friend. just about. judges me, but he's still a friend. He was like, oh, can you start making Mondays marvellous, please? Because Mondays are dreadful. And I was like, I've got no advice for a Monday.
No.
I've got advice on how to smash a Sunday. I haven't got anything for a Monday, have you? What do you do on Mondays? Do you find them depressing?
I'm a self-employed actor, so I basically do the same on every single day of the week, unless I'm doing something that my parents care about, which would be something like a TV show.
Right,
the
yeah.
The rest of the time I'll...
You're just freaking out, having anxiety the rest of the time.
Maybe go to the gym. Maybe take a picture of a flower.
Oh, your Instagram pictures... If you're not following David Oakes, that we've renamed David Oaktree, get on David's Instagram. Lovely pictures.
I was at the Orchid Festival at Kew Gardens yesterday.
We saw.
Which opened, I think, 2 days ago. I was like really keen. And so you're looking at them all, they're on the floor, and you're hoping that more are going to come out still. So go back again and again and again. Or just go on my Instagram feed and don't give Q the money. I mean,
yeah, it's a bit cold if you don't
sponsored.
Want to go out.
They would have brought to you by Royal Botanical Gardens of Q.
Oh, I'd love that. Individual sponsor. Who would your individual sponsor be? Probably that. That'd be perfect.
Oh,
for
no,
you.
You'd be sponsored by the National Trust.
Oh,
yes.
Lifetime sponsorship by the National, like you get all that money back that you put on year on year, and you sort of get.
You
that.
Should be like a spokesperson for the National Trust. Your pictures of trees and walks are lush.
Thank you.
If anyone's listening,
literally lush.
Literally Lush.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
That's a podcast name.
Literally
Welcome
Lush.
To Literally Lush.
Who would your sponsor be, your personal sponsor?
Oh, God. I don't know. You know me. You know me better than I know myself. What would my personal sponsor be?
Ketchup.
Yours would probably be gin.
Oh, God. Would it?
That'd be lovely, yeah, getting sponsored by Hendrix.
Yeah, until I get refused treatment on the NHS in 20 years' time. Your liver, have you been personally sponsored by gin? I might have been.
Never. They can tell by the branding.
Yeah.
Stitched across the front of
your skin. Exactly. I don't want to set myself up badly.
Mine be face cream. I don't know. What do I have a lot of? Shoes, boots. Anyone want to sponsor me?
Sponsored by Boots, the chemist,
or sponsored by Boots, the footwear. Both would be lovely, actually.
Let's go Superdrug because they pay their tax.
Oh, okay. Do Boots not pay their tax?
No, they do not.
Named and shamed.
Yeah,
Beth is like the directory of people who don't pay their tax.
Amazon, do they pay their tax?
Oh, I don't know. They should publicise that, shouldn't they?
What's the one that you told me the other day? This is probably really boring for our listeners, but we were talking about Starbucks not paying their tax. But
You're getting so many calls from really happy, eager listening lawyers soon.
Oh, this is allegedly.
It's not.
Hashtag allegedly.
But the Starbucks at...
Our editor, Dave Charms, knows even more than me.
Dave, edit this out.
He'll wear me out.
Yeah, if you are Charms, it won't be in it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're treading on thin ice legal...
But, I mean, I've been on demonstrations about it. And Boots moved their headquarters. All this information, you can access it. Boots moved their headquarters to Switzerland or somewhere. That I'm not sure on, but they moved it somewhere.
Did they move it like Stonehenge with loads of, like, rollers? Big blocks, one by one, taking them from behind the headquarters.
Yeah, they were like, oh, I hope
no one
notices.
Quick, push it through the night for about 7 years.
Brick by brick.
All the way across.
That's hilarious. They did that with St Fagans in Wales. They moved this, like, medieval... It's a little village.
Sorry, where?
St Fagans.
Say it again.
St Fagans.
Have you never been to St Fagans?
No, I've never been. I've been to Llancaiac Fawr.
I love Llancaiac Fawr. We used to go and make beeswax candles and stick cloves in oranges.
We should do that on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's in Wales, sounds smashing. Yeah.
We should take a trip.
I love going there. You'd love St Fagans, actually. I'm going to take you there when you're in Wales. David Oakes' face when I keep saying St Fagans.
It's an absolute picture.
Just to go back on the tax thing, just interestingly...
Just if you haven't digged it big enough.
No, just really quickly.
Just in case we do have any listeners left.
They're a franchise when they're in a service station, so they do pay their tax. So you can guilt-free buy your coffee from a Starbucks in a service station. The guy at Pret told me.
He shouldn't tell you to go to Starbucks. God, don't say his name. He's going to get
the
sack.
No. He just said that because I wanted cream in my filter coffee and they didn't have it. And I said, well, this is really sad. Now I'm going to have to go to Starbucks.
You wanted cream.
And he always said,
like cream and coffee.
Hello, madam.
I'd like cream.
If it comes like with milk in it, do you go, nah.
Well, yeah, I'll just say, have you got any single cream?
Got filter coffee with single cream. Whisking this for a bit.
Yeah.
Bring a bit of texture to
it. I like when they get the squeezy cream out and go this, and you're like, no.
Not whipped cream.
Not really.
No.
I made a custard the other day.
From scratch?
No, I made a custard.
Oh, lovely.
First attempt.
It was for a quiche. It went really well.
Really?
I've never made a quiche before.
Great.
Didn't do on a Sunday, though.
So is it quiche not
just...
You could
have lied and said it was on a Sunday. Eggs, milk...
I made a custard using eggs and double cream and mascarpone and stuff. It was like a sort of... It was a
sweet quiche.
It was an Otto Lengi thing. It was Swiss chard, Jerusalem artichokes and feta.
Ooh, can we have that recipe, please?
That sounds amazing.
You can. It makes you fart like a bastard.
Really?
Like... Especially because they're quite big.
I mean, I don't need any
help. Friends like me.
Lucy doesn't need any help in that.
The studio right now.
We eat a lot of chickpeas. That sounds delicious, though.
That sounds incredible.
Now, he says drinking his coffee, yes.
Sorry, everyone's just eating and drinking now.
I just got really nervous then, because you're coming around for Sunday lunch on Sunday.
Oh, you are.
That's just raised the bar.
Oh, no, but your cooking is...
If you ask me,
sponsored by my own cooking. Well,
if you ask me, what's my ideal Sunday? Which I think maybe, perhaps you will at some point in this podcast. I might have to answer. Well, I don't know yet, but I think I might be about to experience.
Dave, edit that so we can keep it for the end. That sounds incredible. I just love food.
Yeah, same.
What's your favourite food? God, this podcast.
Oh, do your death row meal.
Yeah, Death Row Meal.
Mine's so
I
dull.
Thought you were going to say, like, Jethro Tull. Do your
Jethro Tull impression and then tell me what your Death Row Meal would be.
I listened to a podcast the other day a long time ago. I think, who was it? It was one of James O'Brien's unfiltered-y ones, which he's stopped doing now, with a woman who was a journalist who reported on the Death Row stuff, killings in America. And they got rid of the final meal. And most, like, the reason being, unsurprisingly perhaps, when you're about to die, you don't have
you're
much
not hungry,
appetite.
Yeah.
So they'd order all of this wonderful stuff, and they go, nah, I'm not hungry.
Yeah, do you know what? I've lost my appetite a bit.
I've always thought that's, you're not going to enjoy it, so it's kind
as
of
if you're
going to
sit there going, oh, this is great.
You may
oh,
as well have something gross, yeah. So you go, oh, I'm not missing out on much in life.
Like, you should be able to invert it, so as soon as you get incarcerated, you go, well, I'd like the meal now.
Yeah.
In the same way, like, I'd like my retirement at the age of 21, as opposed to having to wait till I'm 65.
Exactly, so yeah.
Do it with an able-bodied and a fall over all the time.
And they're so funny when you read their lists of things that they have as well. I love reading what people's death row meals are.
Would it be my farty artichoke?
Yeah, I've not yet tried your quiche.
Oh my God, maybe.
But mine's really boring. It would be like a really nice, like, basil and tomato pasta with cheese. And I love a bit of pasta.
And you're going for basil and tomato?
Yeah, just really simple. It's really dull, isn't it?
Mine would be my mum's Sunday roast. But I'd feel really bad for her having to cook it just before I'm about to get put in an electric chair.
Bit sad.
It'd be so sad. But I wouldn't want anyone else's roast. I'd want a nice roast.
What if you got your mum to make you a roast and you froze it now, just in case you, A, committed a crime, which meant that you had to get the death penalty, and then, in that eventuality, you would have a roast ready to go?
That's a great shout. Let me text her now.
Right, yeah, ask her to do it now.
Because, yeah, well, I mean, you'd have to, wouldn't you? Because I have wondered that, because quite
are you
often...
Doing?
You're right there, what happened there?
Is it the pastel donata?
Oh.
No, thank God. It's expensive equipment, which is fine. pastel donata, not okay if it's on the floor. Yeah, because you'd want something homemade. You know, that things are usually...
Yeah, but it is that thing
that
of, like, would
it's...
you? Would you want all of those nostalgia when you're about to
no,
die?
No, I don't know, but generally when you think about what your favourite meal wouldn't. Is, it's generally something that someone you know cooks.
No, it's not.
Because of the love that goes into it, no?
No.
You're going to go for McDonald's, aren't you? You're going to
no,
just...
no, I'm a massive rat. Snob. Like, I'd go
no,
for...
No, I know, yeah.
Like, ow. I'd go for... These chairs are fun, aren't they? Like, I keep
what's that?
Over, I, my chair
the sound effects in this are absolutely on fire.
Doing our own
Dave's
Foley.
Dave's going to be like, what the hell?
No, I... There's so... Like, I travel quite a lot for work, obviously, and you eat some of the most amazing food, and normally it is made by strangers unless your mum's following you around in these jobs. There was... I had an artichoke in Rome the other day, which was cooked Roman Jewish style. So it's like deep fried in olive oil 3 or 4 times, and so the outer leaves are like crispy and salty and brilliant, but the heart of it's still this sort of gooey, spongy mess of joy.
Wow.
And it was amazing. It was just brilliant, and I will dream of that until the day I die. But that will be the day after I've eaten that, because I'll be on death row.
that was like food porn, wasn't it? You describing that.
Yeah. Describe something else.
I'm obsessed with artichokes.
I'll
that
open the
sounds...
can using the ring pull provided. Inside the glistening glutinous mushroom cream soup is there with a bit.
Brilliant.
Just sit through the gaps in your teeth.
We can do a podcast of just David Oakes talking about food. Do you bake beans?
Beans. What's there to say about beans? That said, I was in Hay on Wye and they brought a full English breakfast. Great, full English breakfast. No beans.
What?
No. What the actual fuck?
That's even worse than when they put them in a separate little ramekin on the plate.
Ramekins.
And you're like, what's that? Yeah, there's 5 beans in a ramekin. Get that out of my sight.
Oh, like when we ordered fried beans at that Mexican and we got about 2 beans.
2 pinto beans.
Yeah.
It's
like
what? 2 pinto beans.
Did you...
You should be sponsored
beans.
By pinto beans.
Oh, I should be
pinto
sponsored
beans
by...
Pinto beans brings you Lucy Pinder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
If anyone's listening... love to be sponsored
beans
by
Incorporated.
Beans.
Sorry, just to go back. Did you say, have you got any beans? Where are the beans? Can I order a side of beans?
No, I did the English thing.
Yeah.
Because I was across the border in Wales as well, so they might have like kicked me out.
Yes, the I do this, David. Beth has none of it. Absolutely won't put up with bad service, will you?
Well, it's only, and I'm not a dick about it. Like, I'm always really nice and polite about it. But because I worked in hospitality for years, I ran events and I waitressed when I was at uni. I waitressed for years. One of the best jobs I've ever had. I loved it.
Is it better than writing and being in foiled the award-winning BBC Radio Wales sitcom set in a hair salon.
Nothing beats that. In all honesty, genuinely, nothing beats that. But waitressing would be my in-between job of choice.
Okay.
If it was like it used to be.
Mine would be like King.
It would be being king. Yeah.
I'd aim higher than
waitress. I'm too working class to even imagine what it would be like to be a king in between.
I went to grammar school, so we're very aspirational.
Yeah, I can't. I loved it. I was absolutely bawling. It's the richest I've ever been waitressing, genuinely.
Is that in Vancouver, though?
In Vancouver and in Cardiff, Las Iguanas. Shout-out, sponsor-wise. I used to make loads of money, and genuinely what makes me feel okay about complaining, it's just because I know that as a waiter, if someone really politely says, "Oh, look, thanks so much, I'm really sorry, but this isn't very nice, or this is cold, or
you just go,
this
yeah,
is
you're
what
right.
I ordered."
It's not nice.
You
I'm
go, yeah, it isn't. I'm sorry. Yeah, all right, it's actually quite nice, Las Iguanas. It's fine. You take it back to the kitchen, they make another one.
It's terrible. I just kind of go, "Oh, this isn't very nice, but I'll eat it, and I just won't ever come back here."
Is this why you go for a simple basil tomato
Maybe.
Pasta? Because they're not going to fuck it up then.
Yeah, I just want to keep things nice and simple.
Don't bring me anything complicated, please.
Just real simple. Just don't screw
it
up.
I get sad spending money on food out. And then I get stressed, whereas it takes my stress away from just sitting there eating something gross, which I don't want to waste the calories. And I am a food snob. Mm-hmm. And if something isn't nice, I'm like, I really don't want to pay for that.
No.
Yeah, and I also want to eat something that's nice. And I generally find if you're nice, you know, I was tip.
Yeah.
I'm really nice to service.
I want you to say nice again to describe the situation that you're
into. Christ, I mentioned I'm a writer. It's really
real nice. It's real nice. David, when you were in Victoria.
I was in Victoria, yes.
You were Ernest.
Yes.
Albert's brother.
Albert's older, more attractive brother.
He was a bit saucy, yeah. Wasn't he?
Meat ketchup saucy, yes.
Yeah.
Call back. Call back. Hashtag call back.
Did you ever have to film on Sundays?
What a question. I think we probably did. Probably because of location availability.
See, that would be my heaven, just romping around in Victorian dress on a Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun, I guess. I'm trying to think of an anecdote that I did on a Sunday. Normally, it would be the same as any other day.
Oh.
Very interesting. Okay. I'm really sorry. There was one, like, every now and again, the catering department would do something quite fun. So there was a tapas day.
Oh.
I could pretend that was a Sunday.
Yeah, let's pretend
there
that was a Sunday.
It was this amazing Sunday. It was absolutely wicked. They brought all this
puts Mark it in for Dave Charles editing.
Our production designer on that job was a wonderful, wonderful human being called Michael Howells, who was a fashion designer. He produced like runway shows for all of the biggest names and did operas and theatre and TV. And unfortunately, he passed away last year, which is very, very sad. But we were on an airbase. The studio where we're filming Victoria's on airbase, so there was still a privately owned runway there. So every now and again, on a Monday morning, you go, "Where's Michael?" And then there'd be this noise, and this plane would land on the runway, and he was like 6'7", tall, mighty man with this beautiful beard and these wonderful velvet shoes and these grey glasses, and his feet would sort of step out of this little private jet and he'd walk up, and you go, "Where have you been?" He went, "India."
What?
And he would just pop away for the weekend. And we'd be up in Harrogate, which is nice. But he'd have just gone out to see some friends in Delhi or such like. And
like go, you do.
I want to be like him.
Wow.
He was just...
When I grow up, I want to be him.
King among mere mortals. A god amongst kings. A big fluffy cloud. I don't know where I'm going with that one. No, he was brilliant. He was an absolute legend. So in terms of Sunday events, like the best Sundays on Victoria were spent by Michael Howells, not in Yorkshire, not working on Victoria.
Hilarious. Just
wow,
flying
that
in.
Incredible.
And speaking of Instagrams as well, his Instagram page was just a delight. Like, you wouldn't know he'd gone away, and then suddenly you see all these like sort of infinity pools stretching out over cliff tops, or he'd be in his garden back home in London, but it would just, it's like a sort of, it'd be like Kew Gardens. It'd be like in the farmhouse. It was just brilliant. He was a great, 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 great human being.
Wow. What a lovely Sunday.
It's sad we can't meet him.
I know.
And that definitely happened on a Sunday, yeah?
Yeah, definitely on a Sunday.
Yeah. Great.
Every Sunday.
Excellent. Well, we did a bit of research, because we're professional like that. And apparently...
I can see there's an open book there.
I know, look, I've got notes and everything.
Not much doodling.
A little bit of doodling.
I like the arrows, they're good.
I love an arrow.
I've asked that, so now I'll ask this.
Like just, celebrity squares. Just, no, yeah. Strike it lucky, the arrow's going across.
Hotspot.
What is a hotspot? No. Was that on a Sunday?
Oh, it was.
About tax.
It was great. Anything good happened on a Sunday.
Everything.
We can retroactively change the past, like what that there Donald Trump does.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll just come up with our own fake reality. Yeah.
And when he's finished being president, we can just pretend he never was.
Yeah. No. Like,
yeah.
The thing in Men in Black.
Yeah, well, the whole country can have that thing from Men in Black, so we can forget that that ever happened.
The whole term of his presidency.
Do you think I was going to say something topical in a bit?
Oh.
Is it about Valentine's Day? Go on.
Oh. But well, this will go out after Valentine's Day,
well,
won't it?
We'll have
but
Valentine's
everyone will still be
Day.
Feeling the effects of it, don't you worry.
Can we ask each other how our Valentine's Days went?
Yes, let's do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great idea.
It could be like a thing.
Such a good idea.
You can make a jingle.
Yeah, all right.
Dave Charms, can jingle. You make a Valentine's jingle, please?
I've been really trying to get it on.
We'll have a great Valentine's Day.
No.
We had a great... Okay.
What a Valentine's Day I had. Let me tell you.
Go on.
I went back to Kew Gardens Orchid Festival again. And you know what happened? All the orchids came alive and started dancing around me. It was like that
like
bit
Alice
in Dumbo
Wonderland.
With the pink elephants. It was exactly like that. It was like all of the Disney films combined, but with magical walking, talking, singing, dancing orchids. And they
did you take some mushrooms before you went to Kew Gardens?
I did, yes, on Thursday the 14th of this week just gone. And it was brilliant. And best Valentine's Day ever. How about you guys? What did you do on Valentine's Day?
Oh, we had a lovely time, didn't we?
Yeah, we went to a gig in
Camden.
The Camden Chapel. A gig being played by, that was played by Marius Bear and Sample Answer.
There we go.
And we thought it might be disastrous. It's a really intimate venue. Mm-hmm. And there was a fear beforhand that it might just be full of couples.
Snogging on cushions.
We've
had to sit on
cushions.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was...
So are you actually doing this on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
So you're already predicting that your thing... is going to be slightly better than you think it's going to be, but not amazing.
Yeah.
At least we've got to sit down and weren't surrounded by couples.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But that didn't happen. It was just an absolute banger of a gig.
Yeah.
And went out in Camden afterwards and had a dance and met the loves of our lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who we really quickly went off again the next day. When we sobered up.
One Valentine's Day, it was probably 2008, 2009... yeah. So one of my favourite films is Brief Encounter, and anyone who doesn't think The Brief Encounter is one of their favourite films doesn't deserve to be spoken to. Beth, is it one of your favourite films?
One of my favourites, yeah. Desert Island Films.
To Lucy, the Knee-High, the theatre company, did a stage version of it, and they were doing it at the Haymarket.
I didn't know they'd done that.
Yeah, I didn't.
What year was that?
Well, they've revived it a few times since, so every now and again they bring it back, and if it does, go and see it. It's basically like... an homage, pastiche, celebration of the film Brief Encounter.
Wow.
And I went to see it on Valentine's Day on my own. It was really tragic. I literally was the only single person in the entire room.
Oh, that's so
couples
sad.
Couples have gone there on, like, it's obviously their film and their special moment, and they're so idiosyncratically, uniquely right for that movie that they can't even see all the other couples that are also idiosyncratically, uniquely right for that movie in the room, and I just sat there. On my own going, this is a lovely piece of theatre, isn't it?
Oh, David, you're my hero. That's great.
Yeah.
If someone had told me at the time that there would be a woman who I'd be the hero for being there on my own, I would have perhaps enjoyed it slightly more.
Yeah.
As it was, I sat there in the interval, like, thinking, I can't really afford a drink because I was a poor, impoverished wannabe actor at the time, and I was there going...
That's
go home, but is it more tragic to stay and watch the second half or to...
Oh, they're so funny, those dilemmas, where you're like, this is tragic, but is it more tragic to...
Yeah.
Have to leave? Because having to leave is a sadder story than sticking out.
Now I've got some self-respect, or a little bit of self-respect, I realise that my time is also worth something too. So the equation I work out is, what is worth more, me having an hour to do whatever I want, or me having an hour watching more of what I was just watching?
Mm. But you did stay for the second half.
I did, it was really
good. Yeah, because you were enjoying...
The theatre. The and then I went home alone.
David Oakes likes watching other couples in romantic scenes.
It's
such a funny image, that. It's so weird.
I love this film too. Loads of
so weird. But I didn't even like it when I was in a couple, like just being around other couples.
Still holding my hand.
It just feels, yeah, it's just a bit like, oh, I just find it all a bit.
And yeah.
It's not for me.
Like when I was in a relationship, we used to go for dinner and it was just a lot of people that really didn't want to be having dinner with each other, being forced to sit and have dinner with each other, not really talking to each other. It was like, oh, this is sad, isn't it?
It was funny because it said,
dream.
Yeah.
I got an email earlier about don't have any plans for Valentine's Day. And I was like, all right, I do actually.
In your face.
Yeah. And it said, whether you're single, so it was advertising an event, and it said, whether you're single or loved up in a couple, I thought, they are not the only two options. There are a lot of people in between that.
I got an email from the hotel that didn't serve me beans in Hay on Wye.
Did you? And
I literally, you know, I really got on the way in to talk to you today, and I was there going like, well, I could ruin the day. We could go back there for like, come for your Valentine's Day at blank hotel. I won't ruin them in case I need to go back. But yeah,
with your own tin of beans in your pocket.
Yeah, thank you very much. Valentine's Day not ruined.
Oh, so
you need to
funny.
Write them an email telling them that
beans.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be listening to this podcast.
Just an email saying beans.
Oh, they'll know it's them.
Every single B&B hotel bed sit in the country will be listening to this, and we'll go, shit, we need to buy some beans.
Yeah.
Quick, and it will be literally
before the border goes up, before Brexit, buy beans.
Oh, don't panic everyone into buying beans, David. Oh, Brexit, let's buy all the beans. Let's not panic.
I don't know what to buy.
You did a great sort of Aardman impression there with your hands.
I know,
there.
I don't know why you went a bit Wallace and Gromit then.
Oh, I wish I'd been filming that bit. You were saying we should film bits of this because that's what people do with their podcasts.
That's called television.
And yeah.
No, but this is what we thought. People film it and put it on YouTube. And we're like, but then it's not a podcast. But then
tweet us if you think, on our Instagram or Twitter, tell us if you think, oh, we'd like to see footage of this happening.
But they'll see that we're wearing no clothes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's a big problem, isn't it?
And they'll see my homunculus.
No. No one wants to see either of you in no clothes.
They have to colour out the homunculus in post-production on every TV show I do. It's really awkward. They get out a little editor.
Oh, what is that?
It's like a gross, like an independent gross. Like Richard E. Grant in that film, How to Get Ahead in Advertising. There's a homunculus which takes over his
body. Oh, my God.
Where's your homunculus?
Well, I've used the audio editing equipment to remove it so you can't hear it.
Right.
This is the highlight of the podcast.
Won't get that.
If we're looking
any
for
other
a trailer
podcast.
Bit, I'm just going to add a marker in there. Okay. Yeah, that's done. So we want to start talking to you a bit about Sundays. We've heard about your fabulous Sundays on Victoria. We had a fabulous Sunday together recording Foiled, actually.
I loved
the
Foiled Sundays.
That was lush. We had Guinness cake that my mum had made, and you cut it. We had no knife, cut a slice with dental floss. And I think about that roughly once a week since it happened.
I mean, it gave the lovely, wonderful chocolate Guinness cake a menthol edge.
Yeah.
But I remember as a kid going to, like, cheesemongers, and they'd have those wires, and you'd see them
cheese
cut
wire.
It. Yeah. You never see that anymore.
I'd love
I
those.
Used to see cheese wire all the time as a kid, and now I just don't.
What a satisfying thing to watch, just a bit of cheese wire going through a bit of
it's probably
cheese.
That their EU says they're not safe anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great for leaving. Yeah.
David, why did you vote leave?
I voted leave so I could have my cheese wire back. Yeah. Oh, you would have thought all of those their cheeses over there, that they're European, they would have needed all that their cheese wire.
Yeah, they would have. Yeah,
all those Brie's, all those Goudas.
I'm trying to think the last time I saw someone cut
Is it
cheese
Gouda
with a
or
cheese?
Gouda? I've always said Gouda.
I've always said Gouda.
Said Gouda.
Well, I said Gouda then because I presumed you'd both say Gouda, and I'm going, why did I say, because it's Gouda.
It is Gouda, is it?
I have no idea, but write in now. Hashtag
Can
you
hashtag us, please, and tell us how to pronounce cheese?
Because we had this funny thing, me and Garnon, Garnon Davis, actor
star
who I did a sketch
show
with.
Star of the award-winning BBC Radio Wales
series
sitcom, set in a hair salon in Wales, yes?
Yeah, I just plug cast members constantly. But we were laughing the other day about people who say things in the accent that they're meant to be in.
Paris. Like that,
so
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So I had this friend, and her dad's French, and so she's bilingual, and she speaks French, and you know, fine. And we were just chatting away about writing, and she said, "Well, yeah, it depends what genre you're writing in."
Yes.
So she had it in a real so she's just speaking,
wow,
with a very British accent, and then says genre. And I,
but she's allowed because she's French, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it's
that's
still,
okay.
Is it weird or is it not? I mean, it's jarring.
I worked in Budapest for 3 years.
Budapest.
After living there, I used to say Budapest, but then I got rid of it from my lexicon vocabulary because I got bullied by my friends who thought I was being a dick.
So meet and garner and all those bullies, basically.
So I now say Budapest again.
My dad still says toothbrush. No, no Welsh accent at all, but we'll say toothbrush. What else does he say with a bit of a Welsh? Years.
But that would be from being in Wales. I just think it's funny when someone like says something in the accent of
my dad says Sanagur. I don't know why. Oh, he's been in the fridge and had my Sanagur. We're like, sorry,
maybe
what?
Maybe he's just angry.
Yeah, maybe
someone's taking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's just emotion.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you're all there going, we've never bought any Santa. he keeps going back to try and find it. It's never been there. Maybe once in 1972.
It's still in there.
I think that's funny.
I'm trying to think of anything that you say with a really strong Welsh accent.
I felt like I did it earlier with Llancae Fawr.
Oh, yeah. You did. You had the R's at the end. Yeah.
But you kind of have to, don't you? Because how would you say that?
You'd say Llancae Fawr.
Just not the same, is it?
No, it's not as sexy. But also,
I think anyone who doesn't the double L's, then you're not saying the word.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to do it in that.
Yes, you're right, actually. There's the difference. Some things you really don't need to say it in that accent.
Yeah.
The accent of where it's from.
Do you want a fun fact about words?
Yes.
Can we have a jingle for that?
It's only words.
Fun fact about words.
Yes.
Different Scrabble sets in different countries have different sized boards and numbers and a variety of tiles, which is obvious when you think about it. But I never thought about it. And then I thought about it and went, oh, it's obvious, because some of them just have really longer words with more Z's in them.
Yes. So you'd get, so obviously R1, you get 10 points for a Z here, wouldn't you? Because obviously...
that's the thing I didn't mention.
But in Italy, Russia, you'd probably only get like 1 point for a Z, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Pizza-wise.
Mozzarella-wise.
But it's awesome. Yeah. I want there to be like a high governing body of Scrabble who design the boards appropriately for each different language.
Yeah, what a job.
Yeah. Do you think they're going, oh, we've got 670 languages done, only a few more to go, like they're aiming, and then when they run out of languages to do, they'll have to sort of come up with sort of, I don't know, Klingon Scrabble or Venusian.
Yeah, or I'd like, that won't make sense. Cut that,
anyway.
Dave, please.
Say anyway.
Go on.
No, I was just thinking about words like...
Come on.
But that would just be a way in which you'd play it. It wouldn't require the letters to be different, just like an urban dictionary Scrabble using slang words and stuff. Because it's always, isn't it, are you allowed slang words? Are you not?
Me and my
mate. If they're in the dictionary, you're allowed the words.
Yeah, so that's what I mean, urban dictionary.
Me and my mate would play a version of the game where you would get bonus points for rude words or bonus points for a theme. So if you today we're playing Scrabble with animals, so any animal you put down, you get double.
Oh, lovely. Nice. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Especially if you like animals, like what?
We know what we're doing on
Valentine's Day.
What we did on Valentine's Day. Do you remember when we all met up on Valentine's Day? We all played animals.
The other day.
Farmyard Scrabble.
Farmyard Scrabble. Fun.
That is fun. Yeah, I love a board game.
Write in if that was something that you consider fun. Hashtag David Oakes doesn't know how to have fun.
No, you do.
Can we start that
country
hashtag?
Walks. I want to know more about your country walks, because whenever I look at your Instagram, follow David Oakes on Instagram.
So lovely.
You do take genuinely really beautiful pictures of nature, and all jokes aside.
Or David Oakes aside.
I always think, do you just get in a car, drive somewhere out into the country and do a really long walk? Do you stay overnight? Like where? Because obviously we know you live in London. And
people will be coming round now. Giving my address away.
I was about to say Crystal Palace.
Whoa!
As hard to take that out, Charms. Dave Charms, take that out. Jokes aside,
I do live in Crystal Palace.
Jokes aside, I know you do.
I'm going to mention it now.
Oh, fine, okay.
Dave Charms, leave that in.
Oh,
and this. Leave this in.
And he wants more stalkers.
Leave this in. I leave this in. Leave and that. Leave and that. I don't go on long drives. Well, sometimes I go on long drives, and sometimes I stay over, and sometimes I'm in the Lake District, and sometimes I'm in Rome or Madrid or wherever, but sometimes I'm just in Crystal Palace Park. So a lot of the photos are just of a leaf or a grass or a drop of snow or a child's tear. And you just, like, there's nature everywhere. There's a wonderful George Orwell quote, which I used last week when I recorded an episode of my podcast, so I could either say that quote now or I could say listen to my podcast.
Also, you've got a brand new podcast.
I've got
about
a podcast.
To drop.
About you, to drop.
You could use that to sell
month.
It to, like, real people in.
Oh, hi, guys. Here's a quote from George Orwell. Nature is happening unofficially in the city.
Lovely.
That's nice.
He probably said it.
What's that from? Did he just say it randomly, or is it from a book?
That's Down and Out in Crystal Palace Park.
I wondered, actually, because I've read Down and Out twice. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favourite books.
You don't remember that quote?
Well, I just thought, is it? Well, that's why I asked, because I was going to say, is it from that? Because I think it is.
I think it is.
I love that book.
Is it your favourite book?
No, but it's one of them.
Is your favourite book the annotated? Oh, that'll ruin this joke.
Wee.
Annotated, complete script, unabridged of Foyle's BBC radio award-winning sitcom set in Hair Salon.
That is your favourite.
So many plug sockets in this room. No, I'm reading a fabulous book at the moment that I'm obsessed with about Charles Dickens, A Life.
By Claire Tomlin.
Claire Tomlin.
She's brilliant. Her
She's
autobiography
so brilliant.
Is unbelievable.
Is it? Oh, I'm doing that next then.
Read that. And it's got a nice front cover.
I can't recommend it enough for anyone listening.
She's great. Her life story is just read about her. She's probably as interesting, if not more interesting, than Charles Dickens.
And Beth can't believe it. The look of shock on Beth's face.
I might not want to date her, though. I want to date Dickens after reading this book. He's so fun.
I went to the Charles Dickens... So what I do on my days off, can I swear on this?
Yeah.
Dave Charms, take that out.
Oh, my God. Leave the fuck in, but take the doo-doo out.
What I have been doing since I moved to London... Okay, so here's some really geeky things about me. When I first moved to London, I had a rule which was to leave London every weekend. Just because it's nice to get out of London. It's also nice to be in London, but you forget what it's like to be outside of London, which is equally as good as being in London. Then I kind of found that a bit hard to do, so I set up a thing which was to go to every single museum in London.
Oh, amazing. This is what we've got, a list of museums that we want to go to.
I did it when I first moved.
So there's about 650 of them. Now, I've disregarded any museum that has anything to do with a football club, so that gets rid of about 20 of them, because I don't really want to know who almost got to the FA Cup final in 1952. I just don't care about that. But I went to the Charles Dickens Museum one day, and there was a little video display at the beginning. We're actually not far away from it. It's over...
Have you been there?
No, I'm in absolute shock.
Near Gray's Inn Road, near the ITV building.
Amazing. Okay.
You can if the guy's not in the room watching you. You can sit at the desk where he wrote Oliver Twist, which is
pretty cool.
Wow.
And then stand up really quickly and pretend you weren't. Not that I did that, I might have done. they say that he was poor and he was down, and that's how he got to know what it was like to be a street urchin and needing food and all this kind of stuff. And he sort of was, for a year. You'll know this from reading the autobiography.
Yeah.
So his dad threw away all the money, drunk. He was in the Navy.
And
they basically impoverished the entire family. And for a year, he worked in a tannery. And then towards the end of that first year in the tannery, his great-aunt Sybil or somebody died and left him millions of quids.
I haven't got to that bit yet.
Oh, spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
But so he did...
Oh, you fancy him even more now?
Or does he end up doing really well? Don't tell me. No more spoilers, Dickens.
He ends up on the £10 note.
Does it?
I know.
David, I may as well not bloody carry on reading the book now. He's really fun and interesting. It's partly her writing as well.
Oh, she's...
Which I think is making it so, such a joy to read. But I'm definitely going to go to that museum. But it is nice that he had... Oh, God, I'm throwing the equipment around again. Sorry, Dave. But him having those experiences and moving around lots and not having much money. And he was only educated for a little while and then they lost money, so he had to come out of education and get a job. And, of course, that does allow you to experience...
What does it do, Beth?
I know. Allows you to experience life being down and out for a bit, doesn't it?
Podcast yet.
Because he didn't know that he was going to inherit loads of money, probably.
No, he didn't.
So he did still have those real experiences. And he was a socialist. He cared about people and he was a flammer.
Was he a bit of a bugger, though?
Which is a...
Well, they all were.
It was a little bit.
Bit of a
who
bugger.
Wasn't?
I know a little bit about
that. Bloody wasn't. He was WhatsApping people at 2 a.m, sure. It's a callback from the last episode of the podcast.
Which they already know because they've listened to it.
Exactly.
All of them.
He was a bit. But he was just, my dad introduced me to the word flaneur today, so I'm going to use it. Just somebody
makes flans.
Do you know what it means?
No,
do you know what
flaneur.
It is?
Flaneur.
It's a lovely word.
You said it in a French accent. Isn't
flaneur.
It?
Flaneur. Just somebody who observes people in
like
society.
A voyeur.
And takes a picture
of
his Instagram. Actually, Dickens' Instagram
That's different,
feed
I think.
Amazing.
Is it?
It's episodic as
is
well.
Is he on Instagram?
No, from the grave.
Again, I haven't got that far.
He's there. He's got old daguerreotype photograph there.
Oh, we're definitely going to that museum then on a Sunday.
100%.
Actually, it might not be open. No. Yeah, it'll definitely be open on Sunday. If you had a museum and it wasn't open on a Sunday, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, you'd think that, but that's like cafes on like dog walks and they close on a Sunday. You're like, what?
Yeah, and don't sell beans.
Oh, absolutely atrocious stuff.
That's going to be my next Smashing Sunday. You've brought that gift to us.
Don't put this in it, but I didn't think the museum was any good. No,
ruined it now. Yeah.
Actually, you can leave that if you want.
We'll just keep going to Hampton Court Palace. Never disappoint.
Yeah, love Hampton Court.
My secret top tip of London's unknown beautiful places. That, can we have a jingle for that? David's secret advice.
I'm not using the jingles enough. Oh. Hold on.
I'm not keen on the jingles. They worry me slightly.
It's very
London's ominous places. If you would like to get abused by ghosts, go to this.
Oh, do you know what we should do? They probably don't do them on a Sunday. One of those Jack the Ripper tours.
That sounds like something from Take a Break.
We should do a Jack the Ripper tour, but they probably don't do them on Sundays either.
Oh, they must do. Like, as I said 2.5 minutes ago, anyone who doesn't offer their tourist
anyone
based activity
worth their
on a
salt
weekend
is doing it on a Sunday.
So my top tip for London to go somewhere beautiful, which nobody ever goes to, is the banqueting hall on Whitechapel. No, hang on. What do I mean? No, I mean the banqueting house on Whitehall, which is brilliant. It's designed by Inigo Jones. It's the last surviving part of the Whitehall Palace, which burnt down in 16-something.
Really?
And late 15-something or other. And it's amazing, and no one ever goes there.
And you can just wander in.
You have to pay to go in with money that you earn from being the face of Pinto Beans.
Yeah.
And it's got three Rubens painting panels in the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
And they're stunning. And it was Charles II who commissioned them in honour of his father. And they're absolutely incredible. And the best thing about it is, because they're on the ceiling, you have to lie on the floor, and they provide beanbags.
Oh,
so instead
nice.
Of going to Pret-a-Manger around the corner, you can just go and take an hour out, sit in a beanbag and look at a Rubens.
Oh, lush.
I love it.
Question is it open on a Sunday?
What a tip.
Historic Royal Palaces, are you open on a Sunday? Tweet in. I'm going to stop asking people to
vote. Oh, I do follow the historic London palaces, so I'll tweet them.
There you go.
Open everything on a Sunday, please.
You've given us set. Well, so we could do Dickens first, and then when we're disappointed, we'll go to cheer ourselves up by lying on a beanbag in the banqueting hall.
Oh, can I get my Victorian...
euphemism?
No, I did a bit of research off of you being in Victoria.
Oh, yeah, then we started talking about arrows. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So we found out that the Victorians basically, sort of like the Sunday lunch came into its own in Victorian times. According to a book by Emma Kay, because it was around the time that, you know, people could only afford to have meat on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So they made a big deal out of having a big dinner on a Sunday. And they basically invented the full English breakfast, apparently, according to Emma Kay, in this book called Dining with the Victorians.
I think you've just provided the writer of Victoria with a whole episode's worth of material for season 4 when that comes out. I mean, that'll be epic.
Who doesn't love Victorians and food?
Yeah.
Quite frankly. Anyway, glad I got that in.
Whilst we're on sort of traditional meals, because we're talking about traditional meals.
We always end up talking about food on this podcast.
One of my favourite things is comparing national Christmas dishes. Obviously the Americans do, they do Thanksgiving turkey, but then on Christmas Day, I don't know what they do. They probably go away from turkey. We do turkey now, but we used to do multiple bird roasts. Mm. If you go to Hungary, they have a big old perch. They have a pike perch, big old fish.
And do they?
Lots of places in Europe go for a fish on Christmas Day itself. But a lot of them then celebrate on Christmas Eve, the day before, and they have the big meal then, especially in Scandinavia. And so this variety goes all the way through Europe, and it's really fun. But we just presume everyone's just going to sit down with
a massive dry
turkey. Yeah, it's
turkey.
Just us in America. Well, although, maybe...
You're at home with your meat ketchup and your vegan sausage roll.
Yeah.
We have a nut roast. Yeah. Real good nut roast.
That's really interesting. Mm. And in Spain, don't they do it on the 6th? The Epiphany is bigger than Christmas Day, isn't it, in Spain?
Well, yeah, probably.
That's when they open all their presents.
I get a few presents year on year now.
Same, but kind of in a good way. I get a better quality of gift and a less, less is more.
Less is more.
I used to hate book tokens as a kid. because you'd always get loads from grannies, grandparents, uncles, aunts, or whatever. I used to hate them. Now you don't get any, probably because you just always sort of disdain them on their own. I would love book tokens.
Oh, I know. What a lovely gift. It's so nice. I've got an auntie that always gives me and my brother Waterstones vouchers. And I love it. Just with a sense of purpose of going into town and going, I've got £20 to spend in Waterstones. Actually, the last I bought a couple of audio books. Other bookshops are available, but just not with my vouchers, so they won't get mentioned.
But that's the joy of a book token, is you can go to any book establishment and buy it.
Yeah, that's lush. Yeah.
It's like money, but a bit more restrictive.
Yeah.
But not as restrictive as a Waterstones voucher.
No, that is restrictive. But I absolutely love it, just going, what a treat. But I bought audiobooks the last couple of times with them, actually. The last one I got was Alan Partridge, iPartridge on audiobook.
Oh, it's so good.
Because, I mean, if there was ever a book that you want to be heard in the voice, it's the Partridge one, isn't it? But you're right. What a gift. That's a really lovely gift, actually.
I hope your family are listening. They'll know what to get you for Christmas.
Hi, guys. Book tokens.
Or any fans that want to turn up in Crystal Palace with a little present for you.
If you want to hang around the Waterstones in Crystal Palace.
No, there's no Waterstones in
Crystal Palace. No,
there's not. Any other bookstore is available.
No, there's a wonderful little independent bookstore.
Oh, no.
Bookstore. they haven't been born pastries now.
No, it's
Budapest to Crystal Palace.
It's wonderful. It's been there for years. Crystal Palace, as I understand it, is awesome because they had a McDonald's and nobody went there. They boycotted
really?
It. And it shut down.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's great.
Isn't that cool? McDonald's. It's
down with the man, especially if he's dressed like a clown.
Oh, what's that lovely... the loveliest bookshop ever is in Oxford, and I've totally forgotten the name of it. It's really old.
The oldie Oxford bookshop.
The really big one.
Massive one. Blackwell's.
Blackwell's.
There you go.
I think it's Blackwell's. Yeah, we'll say it's black.
You should go to Hay or My, obviously famous for the Hay
Festival. Yeah, for the lack of beans.
For the lack of beans, but the abundance of bookstores. Then you go there and you go, they can't all stay in business. But you then go, well, nobody else comes here except during the book festival, so the rent must be really low. But the bookstores are amazing.
Oh, I love the smell of a bookshop.
There was one that's
that'd
just
be
had
a nice car air freshener bookshop
on the outside with sheep on it.
Oh, lush.
I don't know why they chose sheep and not books, but it's beautiful.
Might be overdoing the book thing if they have books outside as well.
Overfaced on books.
Yeah. David, we've got a couple of questions to ask you before you leave us.
As long as there's only a couple and not three.
Oh, damn.
Add a marker. So, David, we've got three questions to ask you before you leave us today.
Thank you.
The first one is, think about waking up on a Sunday morning, which we've already established is just like any other day when you're a self-employed actor. But, you know, stay with the theme. There is a different vibe to a Sunday. I think we can all agree that. If you could wake up to any track on Sunday morning, what would it be?
Other than Right Said Fred's Deeply Dick.
Other than that, go with that if you want. It gets added onto our Smashing Sundays playlist. So if you want to put that...
Yeah, we're doing a Spotify Smashing Sundays playlist that will be available very soon. And each guest, we're adding...
Whatever they choose to wake up to. So what you're telling me is I have now the power to...
Absolutely ruin our
The last two guests you had were spectacular and all sort of fun and funky, and so the playlist will be fun and funky, and now I can just sort of bring it down a notch.
Oh, go on, yeah, please do.
We like an eclectic playlist.
There's a 1970s prog rock group.
I'm writing this down.
Griffin. And they were based, I think, at the Royal Academy of Music. There were students there. They might be in Royal College of Music, but I think they were the Royal Academy. And they specialised in prog rock using the crumb horn, which, as you both know, is a double reed instrument.
Absolutely, yeah,
sort
of course.
Around the medieval times, and it sounds like a really angry oboe crossed with a mallard. And they are wonderful. And they release an album of specialist chess-based music. And
my dad would love this.
There's a track called something like Griffin to Queen 7 or something or other.
Griffin to Queen 7.
And it's... I'll find out the exact name for you, but you'll add it to the playlist.
Right.
I can't wait
to this is that my hi-fi or my sound system isn't within reachable distance from my bed. So if that's on first thing on Sunday, it gets me out of bed because I've got to go and turn it off.
That's great.
Don't enjoy it?
I do. It's bizarre and it's weird. And
I can't wait to hear this.
There's a debate that's been going on between loads of friends of mine over which is best, either the 60s music or the 70s music. And the diversity and range of stuff in the 60s is great, but the eccentricity of the 70s stuff is...
A bit more experimental, isn't it?
And things like Griffin come out of it, and you just go, awesome, and any band called Griffin. I found I've been listening to music. I've been driving around a lot lately, and I've been listening to BBC Radio 6, which is the second best thing to listen to.
Oh yeah, we like a bit of 6 music.
I'm obsessed with Radio 6.
The first best thing, obviously, being Smashing Sundays podcast.
Yeah, of course.
And I've been going, oh, this song's really good, and it was Exits by The Folds. And this morning I was listening to a song, and it was called Token, and it was by Panda Bear, and I'm there going, do I only like music that is played by a band who's named after an animal? And so I'm kind of scared of putting the radio back on again, just in case, like, I've got this sort of weird...
That'd be a fun playlist, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like Scrabble. You could be sat there playing animal
Griffin,
Scrabble...
Panda Bear.
...to your animal playlist.
Bowls. I'm trying... The Beatles.
The Beatles, my favourite band. Hello.
My favourite band.
Are they?
Oh, my God, we got so much in common.
How did we not know that about each other?
Everything's Beatles, episode
3. Go on, quickly. Everything's Beatles, yeah. Quickly, favourite Beatles tracks.
Yeah, can we have a Beatles track to put on this playlist instead?
So, Dig a Pony I want.
That's Dig a Pony's great.
Dig a Pony, Across the Universe and Golden Slumbers are my top three.
Okay, you're going late Beatles with all of that.
Yeah.
So I would probably go... I'd go for A Day in the Life.
Yeah,
because you get a bit of all of them in there. Something, because I want a proper George Harrison in there.
Oh, I love
a bit of George Harrison.
And Blackbird, which I think is
Blackbird is a lovely
Animals
song.
Wise.
Animals, all the animals.
Take these broken
wings. I'd go for piggies.
Oh, we did that in choir.
Yeah. Have you seen the little piggies? We should do a little, we'll do a Beatles animal playlist. God, these
Blackbird's
are so
niche. Great. I might. I'm going to add Blackbird to the Smashing Sundays playlist.
My favourite version of Blackbird.
One Dig a Pony, which is one of my favourites.
Is it not the Winchester Sings Choir version that we sang last year?
I used to listen to that obsessively all last year. It was brilliant.
We did a lovely version of Blackbird.
My favourite version is the Jaco Pastorius, like 1970s jazz.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that.
It's bonkers. He was a jazz electro bassist, and he's really cool.
All this for the playlist.
That's being written down. All right, favourite viewing?
Film or TV series.
Yeah, it could be like Bullseye, Antiques Roadshow.
Is Country Fire on Sunday or Saturday now?
It's on us. It was on a Sunday. We used to, because when my first job in London was at the Globe, and we did Tuesdays to Sundays, our shows, because you don't get a day down. They were cast doing it in reps, so one of you would get Sunday off and one of you would get the Monday off and we'd get the Monday off, and we would sit there between our matinee and our evening show watching Country Fire in the green room, and I thought that's probably high up there on one of my ideal kinds of Sundays. But what do I go for now? Country Fire, maybe, because the only problem with Country Fire is I'm not a presenter on it.
Yeah.
So why would I?
Why aren't
Sean
you?
Sean Keaveney on Radio 6 always had this thing with his breakfast show where he'd always say he wants to present Country Fire.
Well, my friends are split into two groups of people, those that should be presenting Country Fire and those that should be presenting Time Team. And that's it. That's the only people in my life, really.
Is it?
Apart from those that are involved.
Which one do I come into?
You're the main supergroup of those involved in BBC Radio Wales's hit award winning sitcom set in a hair salon.
Yeah.
And you'd be Time Team.
Yeah, it would be Time Team.
I'll take Country Fire.
Time Team was my... Because I was obsessed with history when I was younger, and I wanted to be an archaeologist, but also wanted to be an actor. And I was like, well, that's fine. I'll just have my own...
You'll just be Indiana Jones.
They'll
remake that with the woman in the lead scene, I'm sure.
Indiana Jane. So what was your viewing?
I didn't answer that one at all, did I?
No.
Favourite viewing? On a Sunday... So Sunday kind of lazy turn off.
Yeah.
I would watch Remains of the Day.
Oh yeah,
like a proper good long Merchant Ivory kind of. I'd slink into that and watch the war break out, but watch sort of integrity go through and love be fizzing away in the corner, and Emma Thompson being brilliant, and me wanting to be Anthony Hopkins, and Hugh Grant being there before he became. Oh no, he's good again now.
He is good again now.
Oh, I like
love Hugh Grant.
I love Hugh Grant. I wish I was Hugh Grant a bit as well.
So do I.
Back then.
Who doesn't?
Back when white middle class men were allowed to be foppish and charming, and now they've got to be superheroes.
Yeah.
I could be a superhero.
Just a really lovely little producer. I could be a superhero.
Couldn't get to that top note. Sorry, guys.
Edit
that out, please.
Remains of the Day.
And just real quick then, before Sunday. What's your perfect Sunday?
Today, the day you are listening to this, because it goes out live on a Sunday, is my perfect Sunday, because this Sunday I am being invited around to have a Sunday roast catered for by the wonderful women at Smashing Sundays. And it's going to be amazing. And they're going to be eating their nut roast, and they'll have made me a beef Wellington from scratch. with a lobster thermidor inside.
And a big fish.
And a big fish, because of all of those Hungarian Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be Hungarian Christmas.
Perfect Sunday. Good people, good food, good wine. It's that simple. And a country walk.
Yeah, oh,
I should do Epping Forest. We should do that.
Little Epping can Forest, we? I George. Do miss, from like moving to London, I mean, I know that, like, you said that you can find nature in London, but like growing up in Hampshire and just literally having the South Downs.
Yeah. Well, we're both Hampshire kids.
You're Hampshire as well. Where are you?
I'm fording, well, was fording bridge, so just on the edge of the New Forest. So.
Oh, lush. Oh, I love the New Forest. Oh, we need to do a Sunday in the New Forest. We might kidnap you and you can teach us about trees.
I'll happily do that. Or you can come onto my podcast and talk about trees.
And talk about the lovely ash tree.
Ash dieback, yeah. I was down in Gloucestershire talking to a man about ash trees the other day.
What's it looking like?
Not great.
Is it Dutch elm that's killing them off?
No, that would be the elm trees.
No, but what? Sorry. Dutch elm?
Dutch elm kills the elms.
But is that a fungus?
Ash dieback. They're both fungus. Dieback is definitely a fungus that affects the leaves and kills them from the outside in.
I love an ash tree.
It's a real shame. And oaks are getting a kind of blight that's coming through as
well. Really?
The interesting thing is a lot of the ashes survive, but we don't quite know why. So the genetic reasons that keeps them alive, we're trying to identify so that we can maybe, not necessarily inoculate, but preserve a certain strands of them, so we'll see.
It's terrifying, isn't it, losing a whole species of really like British trees.
The Americans almost lost all of their maple trees at one stage.
Really?
No, chestnut trees at one stage.
Did they?
Yeah, huge, wiped out all across. There was a bad amount of chestnuts were brought into New York, and you can literally see the spread over the following years as it goes away, all the way across the entire country. Interesting tree-based facts will soon be available to listen to on Trees a Crowd with David Oakes.
Brilliant. Oh,
into Radio 4 Gardener's Questions. Hope you enjoyed that.
You need to ask snippet. David his Tudor Prozzi name.
Yeah.
Tudor Prozzi.
You're going to have a Von like me. We decided that I can't have Depinder. Is it De Oakes?
Von Oakes. That sounds like some kind of evil villain in a 1960s cartoon series.
We just choose your favourite literary character, choose their first name, and then add a D
or a Von
to the surname.
So I'm Bathsheba von Pinder.
Your favourite character from literature being Bathsheba from the Bible?
Bathsheba Everdeen from Far From the Madding Crowd.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so you're a local girl. You go for the Hardy.
Yeah, see.
Got you.
Love a bit of Thomas Hardy. What's yours, Elizabeth de Glanville?
I love Elizabeth Bennet, but at the same time, I've just realised that actually my favourite literary character is a name that you can use for a woman as well, because it's Dorian Gray, so I'd just be Dorian de Glanville.
I love that.
Dorian de Glanville.
Before I tell you my favourite literary character...
Not Dorian from Birds of a Feather.
I've got the...
Oh, no, she is my favourite literary character, actually. No, I changed my mind.
I played Mr. Darcy in Regent's Park.
Of course you bloody did.
6 years ago, and my stepfather, who I think was still a septuagenarian at that point, but now is an octogenarian, came along with all his friends who did military service with him back in the 50s. And they were all so excited after the show, and they all wanted to be introduced to Lizzie Bennet, because they all sort of grew up with the books before there was TV, before anything, and they just watched a 2.5-hour play with the embodiment in like form of Lizzie Bennet there on stage. And I brought Jen Kirby, who was playing her at the time, to meet these octogenarians, septuagenarians, and they were speechless. They couldn't say anything. Aww. And it was so cute, and it was like meeting their hero.
Aww.
And I think it's kind of sad these days is that we sort of fancy an actor who embodies a character rather than
the
your
character.
Own imagination that has made this thing in your head, which is perfect.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Bennet and Mr. Darcy really are those characters, aren't they, that are created in your mind as the ultimate couple.
Fitzwilliam. Now, my favourite literary character would probably be Sidney Carton. So going back to Dickens, I think he's awesome because he's a drunk. He's an honourable drunk.
Oh, there's nothing better than an honourable drunk.
So that would make me Sidney de Oakes, Sidney von Oakes.
Sidney von Oakes is nice.
Yeah.
My stepdad's middle name is Sidney. Hadn't thought of it in those times. My grandfather's middle name.
Is it?
Yeah. His name is... this is a perfect way to end the podcast. He was born on the 14th of February, and his name is Peter Sidney Valentine Oakes.
Wow.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's lush.
And end.
But Sunday always gets me down, so come by Sunday. Make it after 3. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me.
Thanks, Dave Chalmers. That is the end.